It is my joy to be able to welcome Pastor William Munoz here to bring the Word of God.
Morning. Or, how they say in my part of town, buenos días. Gracia y paz a ustedes de parte de Dios nuestro Padre y de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. See, he wasn't lying when I was going to preach in Spanish. Before I begin, I would like to give you warm regards from my congregation, Divino Nazareno, in Toalta, Puerto Rico. Also, from the mission I'm attending at the school I work at, Worship with Friends. It is an interdenominational mission that we're starting at the school where I am a spiritual life teacher. So, there's that. So, it is my profound joy to be here with you today in the state of Iowa. And as a Lutheran pastor from the island of Puerto Rico, traveling across the country to reach this agricultural heartland of the United States is an experience that broadens the soul. Never have I driven so much and seen so little. So I was watching fields of corn, fields of corn, fields of corn, right? And as I looked out the window, seeing that marvelous landscape, gazing at those fields of corn, stretching to the horizon, perfectly aligned, green, and majestic, I couldn't help but marvel. You people of the Midwest know the land. You understand cycles, planting, patience, and the blessing of a good harvest. Last week in my congregation in Puerto Rico, the land is a bit of a mystery. This is moving. Let me see if I can. There we go. Okay. In the Caribbean, vegetation grows with wild vigor, even breaking through the concrete. Okay. There are some trees that we plant, and their roots are so strong that they break through the concrete and they get even into plumbing. There are some trees that you are not allowed to plant next to homes because of that. But our traditional agriculture in the mountains is nothing like the mechanized plains of Iowa. Ours is high altitude agriculture, especially in the coffee plantations traditionally grown in the shade of the trees. Those who have worked with coffee in Puerto Rico's central mountain range are all too familiar with the silent and persistent enemy, the berraco vine, or a wild vine. At first, when the coffee plant is young, first of all, who likes coffee here? I'm not that much of a coffee drinker, but my wife is. Other pastors in Puerto Rico say I'm committing a cardinal sin by not drinking that much coffee, but there we go. So when the coffee plant is young, the vine sprouts right alongside it. From below, it looks like a harmless, green, tender little leaf. And if you try to pull it out forcefully while the coffee bush is putting down its first roots, you run the serious risk of pulling up the entire coffee plant with it. Because the mountain soil is loose and the young roots intertwine in an astonishing way. Puerto Rican farmers know they can't give in to desperation. If they go around wildly hacking away with a machete to cut every vine at the root before it's time, they will end up destroying that crop. And would you imagine the panic in people if there are no coffee in the stores? Pandemonium. They have to learn to live with the weeds for a while, keeping a close eye on them, tending to the fruit, and waiting for the exact moment to harvest. Now, this image of my island connects us directly to the parable that Jesus presents to us today. We move from the parable of the sower, which we examined in my church last Sunday, to the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Jesus takes us back to the field. But this time he adds an element of conflict that tests the farmer's patience and the community's logic. My church, last Sunday, we marveled at the identity of our God, an extravagant sower, a God who does not operate according to human logic, based on scarcity and efficiency. I was telling my congregation that if it were up to us, our seeds are limited, and we would rather plant where we know the soil is good. And if you know the parable of the good sower, you know that the sower spreads the seeds willy-nilly everywhere, right? And it lands on rocks, it lands on thorns, it lands on everywhere, right? And so I was telling them, if it were up to us, we would keep those seeds and spread it on good soil only. But thankfully, that is not God's logic, right? And he pours out his grace generously on every kind of soil, hardened paths, rocks, thorns, and good soil alike. We saw that grace is not a contingent on the quality of the soil, but is freely offered. But today, the story takes a realistic and confrontational turn. The eccentric sower sowed good seed in his field. The ground was blessed. However, while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then they left. The wild oat is a biological drama. In its early stages of growth, it is morphologically identical to wheat. You can't tell the difference at a glance. The stems are the same shade of green, and the leaves sway the same way in the wind. They reveal their true identity only at the end, when the time comes to bear fruit. The wheat bends under the weight of its golden, nutritious ear, while the wild oat remains upright with a black, rigid ear laden with a fungus that is toxic to humans. Strictly speaking, this reminds us of a fundamental truth of our Lutheran theology. The mystery of evil and the reality that the Lord's field, which Jesus defines as the world, but which we also experience within the church itself, coexists in a state of constant tension. Martin Luther coined a Latin phrase that perfectly describes this reality in the human heart. Simul justus et peccator. Samuel, you're at the same time just and at the same time, a sinner. If there's anybody here that has ever gone to an ELCA youth gathering, you have seen those shirts and everything that you have to, like, squint your eyes to know that it says sinner and saint. So the good seed of God's word has been planted within us by the Holy Spirit at our baptism. We are declared righteous by grace alone. But the flesh, that self-centered mindset, continues to operate in our world. The enemy sows division, suspicion, and bitterness. The parable tears away the veil of idealism. The kingdom of God has begun. Grace has been poured out lavishly, but the field still suffers from the enemy's sabotage. When their weeds finally sprout and become evident, the servants rush to the owner of the field with a mixture of indignation and panic. Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? And they immediately propose the standard human solution. Do you want us to go and pull them up? What a very human reaction. Haven't we all, at some point, out of desperation, gone out and do things that seem like the right choice at the moment, but then we find out it wasn't the right choice? It is the same collective anxiety that so often envelops us. Last Sunday, I talked in my church about how the thorns of colonial anxiety and the world's restlessness try to choke the fruits of justice. Back home, our power grid is almost close to inefficient. We don't know when the power is going to go out. And when it goes out, it's not for 10, 20 minutes. It's long hours on end. I remember last night, I was talking to my mom. It was 10 o'clock at night in Puerto Rico. And she was telling me that she didn't have power since 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So you would imagine what that entails. And all of that is the result of different political climates in Puerto Rico. And because of that, we also suffer from justice, injustice, inequality in our beautiful island. But today we see the anxiety manifested in the desire for control. The servants want a perfectly pure field. They want a spotless church, a society cleansed of those who think differently, a uniform neighborhood. Stop me if some of this bears any resemblance to our churches. We want a spotless church, a society cleansed of those who think differently, a uniform neighborhood. We want to act as judges before our time. But the landowner's response puts a sudden stop to our puritanical plans. No, lest in pulling up the weeds, you also pull up the wheat along with them. Just as the coffee farmer in the mountains of Puerto Rico, take care not to let his machete damage the coffee plant's roots. God protects his harvest with infinite patience. God knows that human discernment, even though we think is perfect, God knows that that discernment is fallible. If we were given the power to pull up the weeds, our human tendency operating in the flesh and legalism would destroy the wheat. We would say, the heck with it. It will grow again. How many times has the church in its eagerness to clear the field expelled marginalized or destroyed wounded people who simply appeared to be weeds but were actually tender wheat in the process of growing? How many times we have done that? How many times do we judge our neighbor's field without understanding that the divine farmer is still working in it? God's patience is our salvation. If God were a farmer obsessed with quick results, many of us would have been uprooted during our times of rebellion, doubt, cynicism, or weakness. And some of us are still in that time. I would say that all of us eventually sometimes go back to that state of being in our lifetime. But the sower is patient because he trusts in the ultimate power of his harvest. And we get to the conclusion of the parable and to Jesus' explanation. And he tells his disciples, let both grow together until the harvest. We are sinners by nature. That's exactly what it means to be saint and sinner at the same time. We are just because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But we are also sinners because that is our human condition. If we weren't sinners, why would we need Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? I usually tell my students that so they could understand why we worship a God that died on the cross. Because we are not able to redeem ourselves. It is impossible. This is not a call for passive resignation or the complacent, oh well, attitude that stifles our strength. It is a declaration of absolute trust in God's sovereignty. We emphatically affirm that the Holy Spirit is the divine farmer and that the result of His word in us is an absolute miracle producing bountiful harvests. Today, that same theology of the Spirit calls us to eschatological patience. The final judgment does not belong to you or me. It belongs to the Son of Man. Our mission is not to be the shock troop that uproots and burns. Our mission is to be wheat. Our mission is to grow, to deepen our roots in the means of grace, to nourish ourselves with the Lord's Supper, and to bear abundant fruit of love, justice, and solidarity. That is why everybody is welcomed at the table, not just a select few, because it is not our table, it is Jesus' table, and He is the one that invites everybody. In His explanation of the parable, Jesus says something beautiful. He says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom." And there is a reading in Romans that says that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies. We are not defined by the weeds that surrounds us, nor by the bad seeds the world tries to plant in our minds. We are defined by the identity the Spirit gives us. We are the sons and daughters of the kingdom, destined to shine with the light of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we live in a polarized world. It is easy to fall into the temptation of looking at the social, political, or community landscape and begin to categorize people. These are the weeds. These are the weeds. It is easy to let anxiety dictate how we relate to our neighbors. We are scared of the different. We are angry at different. But today's scripture invites us to live differently. It calls us to replace a mindset of suspicion with a mindset of grace. What does this mean for us? Let's practice patience with ourselves. Let's acknowledge that both wheat and weeds coexist in our hearts. We are not 100% good, and we are not 100% bad. Let's not despair or sink into guilt when we see thorns of selfishness or anxiety sprouting. Let's entrust that to the Holy Spirit in prayer. Trust that God's work in you is not yet finished, nor will it be until we are called into His presence. Let's give up that role of judges in our community. Let's stop trying to root out those we consider weeds. Let's try to put people into this small box that we consider are the ones that deserve God's grace. Instead of wasting our energy scrutinizing the lives of others, focusing on the faults of our neighbor or the person sitting next to us, let's devote our energy to nourishing the soil of our community. My call to action for this wonderful congregation today is the following. I invite you to intentionally create safe spaces for growth. This week, when you leave this church and return to your respective communities, be it your works, your offices, your homes, your neighborhoods, actively seek out someone whom society has already discarded or labeled as weed. Someone who is going through a crisis. someone who is cynical or hardened by life's hardships. Do not approach them with the machete, with the machete of judgment to correct or uproot them. Approach them with the water of comfort. Last week, I was telling my congregation, when I was preaching about the different soils, that each soil needs an external factor in able to be able to nourish the seed. It needs water. Let's approach every soil with water, with the water of comfort, with the water of life, with compassionate listening, with the extravagance of God's love that we share without regard for whom it is given to. With God's reckless love. That's one of my favorite songs, Reckless Love. Let us be a community that knows how to wait for God's timing. That knows that what appears to be a vine may be hiding a root that the Holy Spirit can still transform into good soil. Let us sow generously and live without fear. The field belongs to the Lord. The seed, which is His word, is perfect. And the ultimate triumph of His love is all but guaranteed. The righteous will shine like the sun. The harvest of the kingdom will be an absolute miracle here in Iowa, in Puerto Rico, and to the ends of the earth. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks. We give thanks for the opportunity to be able to hear, to be here and worship You, dear Lord. We ask that You let us be patient sowers, that You let us wait so that Your field, so that Your perfect seed, dear God, be able to grow and be nourished. Let us spread waters of mercy, of comfort. Let us know that in our diversity, that in our differences, You are delighted. Let us know that the fields are capable of holding each and every one of us, dear God. In Your name we pray. Amen.